Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Football is the only sport that I think of that you actually, like, schedule your life around. I'm talking about weddings, all of that.
Well, speaking of somebody who schedules their life around college football, let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. We're joined by Phil Steele, of course, acclaimed college football writer, and he's got his college football preview magazine that's
the
out
Bible.
In the stands.
That's the college football Bible.
Absolutely. You can follow Phil on Twitter, at Phil Steele. There's an E on the end of Steele, 042. Phil, as always, appreciate time, man. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning.
Hey, a real pleasure. Thanks for having me on this morning. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Phil, so how does it feel when people refer to your magazine as the College Football Bible? You've been doing it for so long. I mean, you got to feel good about that, that you are the go-to guy when it comes to college football.
Damn straight, you. There's a lot of hours, a lot of sweat equity put into this magazine. We put 6 full months into it. We start the Sunday after Thanksgiving all the way through the end of May. And a lot of times during that process, I'm going, what the heck am I putting myself through this for? And then compliments like that come out where people call it the Bible and things like that, and then it makes it all worthwhile. So now I'm in my fun time of year, and now I'm starting to rebuild that energy back up for next magazine.
Yeah, I can imagine it takes a lot out of you putting all that stuff together.
Phil, when we look at, obviously, there's two distinct teams in Alabama and Clemson that kind of separated themselves as programs in the world of college football. They're going to be the overwhelming favorites. They'll be 1 and 2, obviously. I think Clemson will be 1, Bama will be 2 going into the season. But If you had to put your house on one of those two teams not making the college football playoff, which one would be more likely to not make the playoff?
I'm going to say Alabama in this respect. When I look at Clemson this year, they're loaded, as is Alabama. Both talent-wise, I mean, you're talking about decimal points separating the two. But when you look at Clemson's schedule this year and go through it, they will be at least a 17-point favorite in every single game they play. Now, that doesn't mean they're necessarily locked in to win them all. Remember last year they were a 4-touchdown favorite against Syracuse and needed a third-string quarterback to complete a fourth-down pass late in the game to pull out that win. But a 17-point favorite in every single game they play. They're playing in the ACC as opposed to Alabama, which has a couple of tough tests. You look at Texas A&M, at Auburn, in Jordan-Hare Stadium where they lost last time. So I think there's more landmines on Alabama's schedule.
You know, speaking of that, Phil, you said Alabama might be the one that falls short this year. Is this the year that Georgia exercises the little brother syndrome and finally beats Alabama if they get to the college football playoffs?
Well, they very nearly did last year. Remember, 28-14 in the SEC championship game, and you're thinking, you know what, Georgia's done it. I think that's good, though. I mean, even in a loss, Georgia has to feel like, you know what, we definitely can play with these guys. We know we can beat these guys. So I think next time, as opposed to going into the SEC title game with the thing of, you know, we think we can beat these guys, they'll know they can beat them. But, you know, I still think Alabama's a pretty good team this year.
Phil Steele joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Of course, his magazine is on newsstands now as college football preview for 2019. Joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Phil, I think you had Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and Michigan. Is that correct on your four-team playoff?
That is correct.
What is it about Michigan that you think that this is the year that they finally break through? Heck, they better figure out how to beat Ohio State first before they even have to worry about getting to a playoff.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I look at Michigan, here's what I like. First of all, I'll say this. You know, a lot of folks out there have been saying, hey, this is the year for Michigan. This is the year. I haven't been one. I've picked Ohio State over Michigan every single year. In fact, the folks in Michigan, when I do my radio shows up there, are always like, oh, you just pick Ohio State because you're from Ohio. And I'm like, no, it's because I think Ohio State's going to win, and they have. But this year, you know, when I look at Michigan, first of all, look at the body of work last year for Michigan. If you go through the first 11 games of the season, take out the Notre Dame game, actually 10 games, they were clearly one of the best teams in the country. Defense was dominant. Offense was good. Well, this year their defense will be good once again. Don Brown's still the defense coordinator. They have 5 starters back on defense. 2 years ago, they only had 1 starter back on D, allowed just 18.8 points per game, 271 yards per game. So the defense, we know, is going to be top 10. Offensively, however, they bring in Josh Gattis from Alabama, which I think is a huge plus. Gattis bringing in the spread offense, so no longer are you going to see the fullback, two tight ends. Shea Patterson is the perfect fit for this new offense. You're going to see receivers like Nico Collins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Tariq Black, who missed most of last year. Those guys are going to be utilized now and make Michigan's offense potent. Michigan also is solid on special teams. I rate them the number seven special teams in the country. And then the final factor is the schedule. Their toughest three opponents this year are Notre Dame, Michigan State, Ohio State. They get all three at home. Harbaugh is 24-4 at home. I'm going to throw away that Ohio State game at the end of the year and the Florida game at the end of the year, which has them undervalued heading into this season. And I think it's going to be more like the Michigan team we saw dominate most of the regular season last year. And I think this is the year they finally get past Ohio State. No Urban Meyer, no Haskins at QB, and the game is in Ann Arbor.
You know, Phil, I got a question for you. When we talk about college football and the way that it potentially is going to shake out for the 14 playoff and everything like that, we don't really say a whole lot about the teams on the West Coast. Do you see any team on the West Coast that could potentially be a threat this upcoming season?
Yeah, I'm going to throw a team out at you, and it's going to surprise you. It's not one that you guys regularly talk about, I don't think, on your show, and it is the Utah Utes, believe it or not, coming off a 7-6 season. And then last year they were just 9-5, and you're thinking this team has never won the Pac-12. Nobody's going to talk about them. They might not even be in the top 25 at the start of the year. But they are my number one surprise team in the country this year. And a surprise team is a non-top 10 team that I think can actually make the playoffs. Now, last year, my number one surprise team was Notre Dame. Notre Dame was not in the top 10 at the start of the year. Lo and behold, they made the playoff at the end of the year. Here's what I like about Utah. And you guys will like this because Utah's strength is their defensive line. They've got the best defensive line in college football. Bradley Ane, Penasini, Fotu, they go 11 deep on the D-line. They're just downright nasty up front. A lot of NFL talent up there. Then you look at the linebacking core, solid. Secondary, they've got a shutdown corner in Jalen Johnson. They've got a solid free safety in Julian Blackman. They will have one of the better defenses in the country. And offensively last year, they lost their starting quarterback, Tyler Huntley, to injury with five games to go. They lost their star running back, Zach Moss, with five games to go. Those guys are back. The replacements are back. The receiving core solid. Offensive line's good. And Utah always has great special teams. Then factor in the schedule. They dropped last year. They had to play the top four teams out of the North. This year, they don't face Oregon, do not face Stanford. The toughest two games are at USC, at Washington. Both fall into the winnable category. If you're looking for a sleeper, something way out of the blue, I think the Utah Utes could very well win the Pac-12 and make the playoff this year.
Yeah, Phil, they obviously one of the more underrated head coaches in Kyle Whittingham, and they always have a secondary that creates a lot of turnovers. That's always been their calling card is getting the ball from other teams. On the waitfor.com hotline, Phil Steele joining us here. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas in this morning. Excuse me, for John Fricke on the morning show as we talk some college football with you. Phil, is Georgia got enough cachet that you think they can be a playoff? I know you got them in the playoffs, but can they be a playoff team, do you think, without winning the SEC? Are they going to get enough cachet over if Oklahoma or Texas winning the Big 12 or whoever winning the Pac-12? Do they have enough cachet? Alabama does. Alabama's proven they have the cachet to not win the SEC and be in. Does Georgia have that same cachet?
You know, I think they do. And I think there will be some reflection on last year where Georgia was left out of the playoff, and then the two teams that got into the playoff both ended up getting blown out in the first round, whereas many analysts thought that Georgia might have been the third best team in the country last year, and especially if Georgia can run the table, which I think they will. I've got them favored in all their games this year. Remember last year they had that loss to LSU, so really two losses kept them out of the playoff. I think if they only had one loss, had they gotten past LSU, especially not losing to LSU by 20, they probably would have made the playoff last year with just that one loss to Alabama, especially the way the loss came down, leading the game and looking like they were going to win most of the game. And I actually think this year's Georgia team is a little bit better than last year's Georgia team. You look at them offensively, as a Joe Moore Award Committee member, very proud of that, voting on the best offensive lines in the country. Georgia was right up there, one of the top three, and almost everybody's back this year. So they're clearly of one of the best offensive lines. Veteran quarterback in Jake Fromm, one of the most dynamic running backs in the country, and DeAndre Swift. and the defense is more veteran than last year as well. So I've Georgia favored in all their games, and if they do run the table, go 12-0 and lose the SEC title game, yes, I do think they still make the playoff.
How much do you think Georgia's going to miss Jeremiah Holloman, though? Because, you know, earlier, I think it was last week, he got dismissed from Georgia. So how much do you think they're going to miss a guy like that that they were heavily counting on at the receiver spot?
Well, that's the top five receivers from last year are gone. But it's not like they lack playmakers. And what we've seen in college football recently, you could see freshmen come in and compete right away. And so I think when you look at the talent Georgia has, the recruiting that they've been doing, Demetrius Robinson, for example, coming over from, he was one of the top receivers coming out of high school, Matthew Landers, Cager, they've got players there. So I think with a veteran quarterback like Jake Fromm, they'll develop the receivers. And, you know, last year's receivers were good, but there was no 1,000-yard receivers. The top guy had 570 yards. I think you'll see similar production out of this year's receivers, if not more.
Keep up with him on Twitter, at PhilSteele042. He's, of course, got the Bible, your college football preview. It's on newsstands right now, and he joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. As always, Phil, lots of great information. Appreciate it, buddy. And I know you're making the rounds today, so have fun today.
Sounds good. I love talking football, guys, and always great talking football with you. So had a lot of fun today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.